Pray with me. God, you root those who trust you by the streams of healing water. Release us from the bonds of disease, free us from the power of evil, and turn us from falsehood and illusion, that we may find the blessing of new life in you through the power of Christ. Amen. Speaking of rivers, Howard Thurman says, "The fascination of the flowing stream is a constant source of wonder and beauty to the sensitive mind. The restless movement, the hurrying, ever-changing stream has ever been the bearer of the longings and the yearnings of humankind for land beyond the horizon and where dreams are fulfilled and deepest desires are satisfied." Do Thurman's words speak to you this morning? Have you ever found yourself fascinated by a river, sitting on its bank, wondering where it came from and where it was going, curious about what was carried on its surface and what lurked in its deepest waters? Have you ever considered a river as the bearer of your longings and yearnings? Has a river ever inspired dreams of fulfillment and satisfaction for you? Conjure an image of a river you have known and how it has spoken to you. What river would you sit beside, dreaming of where it might carry you if you let it? "I have known rivers," writes the great poet Langston Hughes, "rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood in human veins. The river sings and sings on. There is a true yearning to respond to the singing river," proclaims Maya Angelou. "The slave sings, 'Deep river, my home is over Jordan.'" Speaking of rivers seems to play an important role in African American thought. Thurman writes that for the slave, the river likely served as both the last and most formidable barrier to freedom and the gateway to that promised land where all is peace. It represented both life and death, hope and fear, possibility and prison. Thurman and others have observed that for the slave, heaven represented a better life. Perhaps they would only know that better life after death, but perhaps they might find their way to freedom in this life. Heaven, in all its glory, though, would eventually and inevitably provide a dwelling place for those who had been ripped from their homes in Africa and forced into slavery. We need to be clear that this image of heaven was not escapism for the slave. It was not a way of keeping them in chains, cooperating in their own enslavement for the time they were on this earth. Opportunities for freedom were few and far between, fraught with danger, punishment, even death, if flight failed. Heaven then offered hope when temporal freedom seemed impossible. In his little book, The Negro Spiritual speaks of life and death. Thurman argues that the facts make clear that religion did serve to deepen the capacity of endurance and the absorption of suffering. What greater tribute could be paid to religious faith in general, he writes, and to their religious faith in particular than this? It taught people how to ride high in life, to look squarely in the face of those facts that argue most dramatically against all hope and use those facts as raw material out of which they fashioned a hope that the environment, with all its cruelty, could not crush. Deep river, my home is over Jordan. I want to cross over into campground, Lord. Oh, don't you want to go to that gospel feast, that promised land where all is peace? Deep, deep, deep river, my home is over Jordan. Speaking of rivers, the prophet Jeremiah proclaims, "Blessed are those who trust in God, whose trust is in the Holy One. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when the heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit." A powerful word of hope for those who place their trust in God as the final arbiter of what is just and right, of what is liberating and indeed life-giving. Then John of Patmos tells us of the river of the water of life, brightest crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the city street. Remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the New Jerusalem, the holy city with streets of gold whose foundations and gates were made of precious jewels, the city in which God dwells with mortals, wiping every tear from their eyes, in which death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more. Right in the center of the glorious heavenly habitat runs the river of life, nourishing on either side the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month, the leaves of which are for the healing of the nations. Life, like a river, is a process, always in flux, moving inexorably from its source to its goal. The river springs from sources hidden deep underground and flows with undaunted determination to the sea. This meme once appeared on my Facebook feed, a Sufi saying, "The ocean refuses no river. The ocean refuses no river." There is an undeniable link between the river and its goal. The vastness of the ocean accepts and embraces every river in a gesture of homecoming. And so it is with life, which springs from sources hidden deep in the heart of God and flows with undaunted determination back into God's oceanic depths, where God accepts and embraces creation in a grace-filled gesture of homecoming. Listening to the proclamation of the biblical truth and the good news of Jesus Christ, slaves heard and came to understand that regardless of the situation in which they found themselves, no matter how harshly or cruelly they were treated, they were children of God. Their lives flowed from God, back to God. Thurman writes, "With untutored hands, with a sure artistry and genius created out of vast vitality, a concept of God was wrenched from the sacred book, the Bible, the chronicle of a people who had learned through great necessity the secret meaning of suffering. This total experience enabled them to reject annihilation and affirm a terrible right to live. The center of focus, he writes, was beyond themselves in a God who was a companion to them in their miseries, even as he enabled them to transcend those miseries. They came to believe that their journey on this earth might be a torturous one, but nothing, not even death, could separate them from the love of God. In truth, there was a sense in which death was that ultimate river they crossed to freedom and that better life in the heavenly city in which life itself flowed from the throne of a welcoming God. Still, we need to remember that heaven is not all about escaping this world. Remember that Christ taught us to pray as we did this morning, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In commenting on the 22nd and final chapter of Revelation, Mitchell Reddish writes of the end times, "To pray for the coming of Christ is to pray for God's triumph over sin, evil, and death. To pray for the parousia, that is, for God's presence, is to pray for a world of compassion, nonviolence, love, joy, and justice. To pray for the coming of God's kingdom is to pray that God's world will be healed and renewed. To sing Deep River is just such a prayer. The slave had heard the holy word and had a fundamental understanding of what was right and wrong in this world. They believed the ancient word that a day would come when things would be set right, when God's will would be done on earth as in heaven, when justice would roll down like a river and righteousness like a mighty stream. Yes, I have known rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers. And from that depth, I dream a world where no one another will scorn, where love will bless the earth and peace its paths adorn. I dream a world where all will know sweet freedom's way, where greed no longer saps the soul, nor avarice blights our day. A world I dream where black or white, whatever race you be, will share the bounties of the earth and everyone is free. Where wretchedness will hang its head and joy like a pearl attends the needs of humankind. Of such a dream, of such I dream, of such I dream a world." Amen.